And it's a privilege to tell people about the greatest thing in the world. And Brother Smith had told me, said, you know, and I jumped up a while ago, what I was going to say is that we're going to take up a missionary offering in a little bit, and I wanted to make an announcement, and I don't want nobody to leave without giving anything. So if you have to go, if you get a text that somebody's in the hospital or something, well, the usher back there, just give him your offering, because there's a blessing in giving. So we didn't want you to miss out on that. We wanted you, you know, we don't want anybody. But you know, there's an advantage. There's a little song that says, if Jesus should lift his mercy from me, where would I go and what would I be? I'd be, oh, so lost. No, below the cloud. Yeah, if I could no longer follow the cloud. Jesus is a cloud. He's in the midst of the cloud. So what would my destiny be? What would my destiny be? Then another song I love was, we're drifting too far from the shore. We're drifting too far from the shore. Come to Jesus today. He will show you the way. 'Cause we're drifting too far from the shore. Life is a crossroads, or a T. I don't like to call it a crossroads, it's a T. You come, you drive, you're going down a road and you come to the T in the road. You either have to go left or right. And sometimes when you go the wrong direction, you get further and further away from God. So what you do is you sit right there. You don't move. You don't move. You don't make a decision. You sit right there till God shows you which way to go. And there's a river in Colorado. And there's a continental divide. And then they say there's rivers that goes to the west. And there's rivers that goes to the east. And both of them look the same, identical. If you put your boat in the one going west, you'll catch fish when you first start out. Beautiful trees, clear water. Or if you go east, you'll catch fish and beautiful clear water. But if you choose to go west at the Continental Divide, if you make that decision, your river ends up in the desert, underground. You're on ground. Can't go nowhere. You're over. Your journey's finished. You're carrying your boat. You're no longer in the river. But if you choose, if you make the right choice and go east, you'll end up in a river and eventually end up into the Gulf of Mexico where there's waters to swim in. It's all about making the correct decision in life. And then sometimes you can make a bad decision, and a bad decision always leaves a scar. It always leaves a scar. But you can overcome that. So, I just wanted to say a few words on telling you the advantage. I personally have been a salesman most of my life. I have three children, and I trained them to be salesmen. And I trained them to be good salesmen. Number one would be to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, and to treat people right. So we was always selling a product. I have a son in Ohio that has a business, and that's his motto, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And very successful because of the principle that we use. But a lot of us, when we start out in life, when I started out in life, I was I was 16 years old. And the school that I was going to asked me to quit. I wasn't real mean. I hunted at night. I coon hunted a lot, and I'd slept during the day, so that upset them. You know, I'd fall asleep. So they said that I was not worth educating, and they were probably right. So I finished the eighth. I started in the ninth, and they asked me, the principal of the school asked me to quit. So I quit. I quit school. And my habits were that at 16 years old, I was using a lot of alcohol and nicotine, and I had a dirty mouth. That's sad. Have three bad habits. You smoke, you drink, and you use bad language. That's three strikes against you. And so I remember, but I was very successful, even at 16 years old. At 16 years old, I was driving a brand new pickup, a red short bed, 55 Chevrolet, I mean Ford, and bought it off the showroom floor. I was in the blacktop business. I was a partner in a blacktop business. I would lay, we would do your whole parking lot out here. So I was very successful, but I had these habits. And according to the statistics out here in the world, if you drink before you're 20, more than likely you become an alcoholic. They have all kinds of statistics, you know, but that's one of them. And so on my grade card, I was doomed. Almost a day didn't go by that I didn't consume alcohol. The people I worked with, they were alcoholics. They all drunk. We all drank. That was just part of the business. And so a little revival came to town, and a preacher was preaching a revival. And so I really wasn't interested in going to church. You know, I know we got a lot of visitors here today, and we want to make sure that if you before you leave, if you have a need, the wonderful thing about it is that any time you want to get up, it doesn't matter what I got to say, it's not important. But any time you need a touch, you have that privilege. Isn't that wonderful? You can get right up out of your seat. You can be out there, and you feel like you need prayer. You're sick. You're plagued with all kinds of habits, and you're welcome to get up and come up. We'll lay hands on you. In the name of Jesus, we want to stress that. We use that word a lot. We're not ashamed of it. The government, you're not allowed to say it in Washington, D.C. In fact, this is a true fact, that the government, the U.S. government, there's a company in the country that builds sights for rifles. They build these scopes. And on every scope, they put a scripture or name, and they might put on a scope, Jesus is his name. Well, the U.S. government found out that they were doing that. They were selling them to the U.S. government. And the U.S. government said, well, we're not buying no more scopes from you if you don't quit putting that language on there. Jesus loved you, John 3:16. We're not buying no more scopes from you. Remember that. And any rifle that any soldier has, we want you to get a grinder and grind it off. If you got a scope with Jesus loves you on it, you get a grinder and you grind it off. That's the federal government, so I want to bring that up to let you know that you're not in good hands and that part's over. But so that night, that preacher was preaching. And of course, you should wait. At a revival, you're supposed to wait for the invitation song. You're supposed to wait. You know, you can sit there and you're nervous. You want to go up and get prayer. You want to get your sins away. You want to get them gone. And so you wait for the song, you know. And I can still remember one of my favorites. Me and my wife held a revival one time, and she was my piano player, and one of our favorites was softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Yeah. Come home. Are you lost? You don't have a home? Come home, you who are weary. Come home, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Oh, sinner, come home. And so that was beautiful. Back in the 50s, you'd fill the altars up. People wanted to come home. And we're living in a different day than then. So before they even sung the song, I couldn't wait no more. I jumped up and I ran down. And so I came down and God forgave me of my sins. That's what's good. And then those sins, he cast as far as the east is from the west. But then the other ones, he starts keeping a record then. People says that. Well, he cast them far as the east is from the west. Only the ones in the beginning. Don't think that everything you ain't done, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows wickedness, he'll reap wickedness. If he sows godliness, he'll reap godliness. And so I had a clean slate that night. We had undoubtedly cheated some people laying blacktop for them. We'd tell them we were going to put 3 inches on, we'd put an inch. So we would lie to them. You know, you make extra money that way. When you're in business, that business is... So we would lie to them. And then I remember prior to going to church that night, I hauled coal. I had a coal truck, a dump truck. I hauled coal. Wintertime, you can't lay blacktop, so I had coal. This is just a testimony. I remember I was driving down a road, and I thought, this is what I thought. I said, I know how I can make an extra $7 or $8. I said, I know how. Yeah, I got to thinking. Because the Bible said the heart is wicked and who shall know it? Man has a wicked heart. He's born with a wicked heart. That's what we inherited from Adam. We're born with a wicked heart. So I got to thinking. You know, you wouldn't think Brother Roark would do that, but I did. And I'm sorry. And so I went to the lady and I said, I think I might have had 7 ton on. She said, how much coal you got on? I said, 8 ton. I got 8 ton. And so she said, can I see the weight slip? Now I got to tell 2 lies. I just told her 1 lie that I had 8 ton, but she said, can I see the weight slip? You know, you look in your pocket like, where's my weight slip? It's here somewhere. Oh, I've lost it. That was a lie. I didn't lose it. I had it in the truck. Wasn't going to show it to her. So she paid me. And so when God forgave me that night and turned my life around. Says song was saying that I've been completely turned around since it blessed the truth I've found. And so we've been turned around. I was turned around that night. I thought everything was fine. I was happy. You know, I've been forgiven of everything. And so one thing the Lord told me, he talked to me. He talks to me occasionally, and he said, yeah, and by the way, he said, I want to teach you a lesson. I want you to go back up there to Columbus and tell that woman that you lied to her and that you overcharged her, and you give her back the money. So I got in my billfold, and I had the money that I owed her for the extra coal. I never told her I lied. I said, look, ma'am, I overcharged you. Here's your money. And I left. You know, I was so embarrassed for doing that. But, you know, from that day on, I never charged anybody for coal that I didn't have in the truck. You want to know why I didn't? Because my life had been turned around. Now I've got something inside of me that's holding the reins. It's not Adam. It's not an evil man. But I've got something inside of me that's holding the reins. And so it corrects me. It guides me. And it's going to mature me someday. I'll be able to rule and reign with him, or someday I'll be on the new earth, whatever, wherever I go, but someday it'll produce life everlasting. And so that's what we're after. And so so I began to the Lord, I prayed. I the other day I passed a spot. I showed my wife. I said, at 16 years old when I got saved, I said, right there. I went out in the woods one night and I prayed and asked God to give me directions, help me find some people that that would teach me and train me and love me and not treat me like a stepchild. You heard that? I said, I'm going to treat you like a stepchild. Well, God doesn't treat you like a stepchild. God don't have no stepchildren. They're all His children. Some of us are grafted in, so God doesn't do that. And the Lord spoke to me. And this is what the Lord said. The Lord said, I want you to get away. Get out of town. I want you to go. And I said, by then I'd done quit the business. Didn't have it no more. Never went back. I never went back. I owned 50% of that blacktop company at 16 years old. And that night when I got saved, our headquarters was in a beer joint. I never went back. I never looked back. All my tools, I said, you're going to have it all. I'm not going back up there. And I didn't. And so I said, Lord, I said, I don't have no money. How am I going to get out of town? He said, well, join the military. That's what he told me, join the military. So I went up to Columbus, and you have to be 17. I turned 17 December the 6th. So you had to be 17. You had to get your mother to sign and dad. And so I went up there and told them I want to join the Air Force. So they test you for a couple hours. They test you. And in this experience, you know, I had only had an eighth grade education. So the man came around, tapped me on the shoulder. He said, you know, you're lucky. He said, you come that close, me just sending you home and telling you you're never going to be in the military. Basically, he was telling me I had a low IQ, which I already knew. But the low IQ has nothing to do with success. But Jesus does. A low IQ has nothing to do with your destiny. But Jesus does. So basically, he told me that. He said, you passed by 1 point, Mr. Roark. 1 point. You'd have missed one question. I'd have told you to go home, get out. And you know what I did? I said, thank you, Lord. That's you. That's you letting me know that you passed the test. I didn't pass the test. I wasn't real good at school. I never paid much attention. I didn't learn how to read much. Didn't write very good. So he told me that. So to finish the story, they sent me to San Antonio, Texas. Yeah, long ways. Yeah. Now I'm on a long journey. I'm way off, 1,500 miles from home. And so when I got to San Antonio, I'm just a young boy, 17 years old, and I seen those jets flying over. Back then, the jets were really starting to fly, you know. And so I look up. I want to show you how good God is. It doesn't matter if you're smart, dumb, rich or poor. He'll answer your prayer. Jesus will answer your prayer. Jesus will answer your prayer. The answer to all of our problems is Jesus. So what do I do? What do I do? I said, if you don't mind, Lord, if you don't mind, I really would like to work on those jets. I'm asking for a whole lot, you know. I just got in the Air Force by 1 point. I'm just that close to being so dumb they don't want me. You understand? And I'm asking the Lord to give me a high position. And so I take the test several days. Several days they tested me. But I just want to show you, it's not how smart you are. It's not your IQ. But it's how much God blesses you. I'm blessed. When I wake up in the morning, I'm blessed. When I lay down at night, I'm blessed. When I go out, I'm blessed. When I come in, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Now listen to this story. Reason I don't tell it very often because most people won't believe it. One more time. After testing, a man come around. He tapped me on the shoulder. He said, you know, he said, I don't understand you. You didn't, basically said, you didn't qualify for nothing. So I'm thinking now they're going to send me home. Here I am. Get me a ticket and send me home. I'm so ignorant. I can't do anything. The man's telling me. He said, you didn't qualify for nothing. He said, but there's this one thing. And he said, I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. He said, basically, you know, there is some thing. Now, I like to cook, but a cook happened to be on the low, you know. At least I thought I could qualify to be a cook. I couldn't. Couldn't even. They wouldn't even let me cook. Yeah. Yeah, we tested you. You can't. He said, but there's this one thing. There's this one thing. He said, you passed on, and that's a jet mechanic. Can you believe for the next 3.5 years, Tim Roark worked on jet airplanes? You want to know why? You want to know why? It's not my IQ. It's not how smart I am. But I have Jesus in my heart. I have Jesus on my side. So you can be blessed. The blessing is in serving God. And so I went on. And then, of course, I met my wife. And we held a revival. First 2 weeks we was married, we held a revival. And we'd sing that song a lot, softly and tenderly. And then it would say, you're drifting too far from the shore. And a lot of those old songs we'd sing. And people would come up, fill the altars, and get saved. And I tell preachers, if you ever need someone to help you preach a revival, me and my wife can still sing. Softly and tenderly. I don't have to preach. I don't have to say a word. But all we got to do is get to the piano and start singing softly and tenderly. Yeah. Yeah. And you can fill the altars up. You can talk for 2 hours and no one will come. But you start singing softly and tenderly. And I want to tell you a story about softly and tenderly. I don't take a lot of time. I tell you a story because I got to take up an offering. There was a man in Ohio by the name of Will. Will was his first name. I forgot his last name. I forget a lot these days. And so Will goes out and buys him a piano. And he buys him a steel-wheeled wagon. Steel wheels. So he puts a piano on the wagon. You know, and he goes out and he holds meetings and he sings songs. And every time he gets somewhere, he has to tune it every day. Tune it. Because it's bouncing. I mean, it's bouncing. He's got a horse pulling. He'd go to a town. And D.L. Moody was one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. One of the greatest people. D.L. Moody could walk into a factory. They said, on this end of it and on the other end, before they ever saw the man, they began to repent and cry because the Spirit of God was on him. D.L. Moody was a preacher. D.L. Moody was a preacher. But D.L. Moody, and so D.L. Moody was dying, and they said no visitors. No one was allowed to see him. The place was packed. People wanted to see D.L. Moody and Will, the man with the horse and the piano, was there. And someone said, Will's outside, D.L. Oh, Will's outside. He said, send Will in. So they sent Will in to see D.L. Moody. And here's a man that had preached all over the world. And this is what D.L. Moody said. He said, Will, I preached a lot of sermons, said a lot of words. But if I could have asked God for one thing, just for one thing only, said it wouldn't have been a great sermon on how to get saved, but I would have asked God for your song, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. This is one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. So, Brother Roark, when the revival breaks out in Little Rock, and it's going to very shortly, we're living in the end time. Everybody knows that. Revival's going to break out. Holy Ghost is going to be moving. People's going to be healed. They're going to be saved. And so Brother Smith can call me and book me for one night. Just one night would be good enough. And me and my wife would sing softly and tenderly. And when you sing it, that's all you have to do. You don't have to preach a sermon. You just sing softly and tenderly. You know, and then you're saying, I've been completely turned around. Christ will turn your life around and you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed when you lay down. You'll be blessed when you rise up. You'll be blessed when you go out You be blessed when you're coming in. And the little girls, I'll just mention this, that was captive by heathens, 300 of them a few months ago. I doubt if we'll ever find them. They're selling them for sex slaves. But here's the reason. Here's the reason. Look, nobody's ever going to capture one of my little girls. Nobody. They can't. God has a hedge built around them. And these 300 girls lived in a country where heathenism, Buddhism is praying to Buddha. They're still praying to Buddha. They're still gone. But never in history, in recorded history, has there been a disaster like that among God's people. How about that? You know why? You know why? Here's some of the advantages of serving God. God will build a hedge around you. God will build a hedge around your home. So you don't have to worry about that. I don't worry about that. That's not my problem. I'm not going to worry about my little girl going off to school unless it's a heathen school. Let me tell you what a heathen school is. A heathen school is when you take prayer out of it. A heathen school is when you take the Bible out of it. And finally they say, America's schools are trading Bibles for guns. Now they don't bring their Bible to school. I never forget me and my wife moved to Ohio, and I broke down and cried. I cried like a baby. I cried. They prayed and they sung, you know, and they'd read the Word of God. This has been 50-some years ago that we moved up there in a little school out in the country. I broke down and cried. Because you could feel God in it. But now you're not, they don't do that. So America's grinding off Jesus loves you. America has took Jesus out of school. America has took the Bible out of schools. America is going to reap what it sows. And so, but I don't want to talk about that part. I want to talk about the other part. There's two beings in the world. One of them is Jesus. He loves you. He'll take care of you. And then there's wicked men. There's wicked men. The Bible talks about wicked men. Wicked men that hate God, don't love God. And so we want to talk about the good side of it. The good side. Let me tell you about the good side. The good side. There's a country in this world. And I worked at a store. And we was taught what a counterfeit $100 bill looked like. We were taught that. You know, and sometimes you'd learn to feel them, and then you scratched it with a pencil, and then you'd measure. But there is a country in the world that never shows their cashiers what a counterfeit bill looks like, feels like, or anything. All they do is teach them what the good one feels like. You don't have to learn what the bad one feels like. Just learn what the good one feels like. So today I want to tell you what the good one feels like. It's joy and peace and happiness. And I will say this, the Bible is very clear. The Bible said, here's what the Bible says, that a godly man said his sorrow endures for a 12-hour period. If some disaster happens, something happened, you're supposed to feel bad. Bible said, for a godly man that loves Jesus, sorrow will endure for a night, just a short period of time. That's what the Bible said. But not so for the ungodly. Not so for the ungodly. The number one prescription in the world today, I worked at a grocery store, a pharmacy, is a depression medicine. Depressed. Everybody's depressed, 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 depressed. He said, not so for the ungodly, because they, when the evening comes, they don't get no sleep. Back then, they didn't have NyQuil. You can take two bottles of NyQuil and sleep like a baby, by the way. And sometimes you don't wake up, but you can. I just want to throw that in. You might not wake up, but you can take two bottles. That's true. That's true. You can. It works. It worked. I know people that done it all the time, you know. Yeah, they buy that NyQuil. That was one of our biggest sellers. You glue, glue, glue the whole bottle, you know. So I could sleep, you know. But what does it say about the ungodly? He don't sleep a wink. He's awake all night long. And finally the morning comes, and he hasn't slept, hasn't had no peace in his heart. And what does he say? Oh God, where is the evening? And that never changes. So there's a lot of advantages. There's a lot of advantages. A lot of advantages in serving God. I don't know one advantage in serving this evil world. I can't give you one advantage in serving this evil world. Even the richest, one of the richest men in the United States. I read an article the other day that he wrote. And he had all the money in the world. He could buy anything he wanted to buy. And he said, and his family had been married 3 or 4 times. I think even had children who committed suicide, children that died. And this is what he said. He said, oh, I envy those godly people. Seems like they have a good life. Seems like they have a good life. If I could just buy it. He said, if I could just buy it with some money. How much do you want? What do you want to charge for it? His name was J. Paul Getty, one of the richest men in this country. And you know who he envied? You know who he wanted to be like? He wanted to be like us. He didn't want us to be like him. He didn't want to be like a richer man, but he wanted to be like us. Oh God, if I could just be like those people that love God, have peace in their heart. How about that? How about that? Here's a rich man willing to give anything. Then I have another story about a rich man. I don't want to take up much time. I got to take up an offering. I've got another story. One of the richest men in the United States, born on a farm, went to church, loved God. And by the age, young age, I guess in his 20s, 30s, he was the first millionaire in the United States, the first one. Time he was 50 years old, he was probably the richest man in the world. He was a billionaire. Time he was 50 years old. Here he had made all this money. But something happened to him. He got sick. All of his hair fell out. All of his eyebrows fell out. So he was going to die. They told him he was going to die. Said, get your house in order. You're going to die. And so he said, well, you know, maybe before I die, I need to give this $1 billion away. It's no good to me. I'm going to give it away. So he set out to help people. And give it away, and give it away, and give it away, and give it away. And all he could eat was crackers and milk. Now, when you're the richest man in the world, you're dying at 50 years old, you can only eat crackers and milk. Isn't that sad? You'd think that your money could find you a doctor that could help you. And so, all at once, he started eating eggs and bacon and steak. He realized that he was being healed. He was being healed. And he lived almost another 50 years. And right before he died, one of his great pleasures was, this is during the Depression when he died, he'd take bucketfuls of dimes and go into New York City and hand them out dimes. He'd get dimes straight from the mint. They'd bring him a truckload of dimes and he'd give those dimes away. And his name was John D. Rockefeller. It's on record. That's history. That's history. So if Rockefeller can learn a lesson by giving, I'm not saying Rockefeller done everything right, but Rockefeller learned, I'm going to give it all away. And what did he get? He got another 50 years. He was told he was going to die by the greatest medical professions in the world. You're going to die. And God spared him. And so there's a song that says, I'm going to give, till there's no more to give. And God will bless you. God will bless you. So I'll just tell you a couple more stories, then we'll take up the offering. Me and my wife living in Texas, and show you how God will bless you. And Christmas time, was living in a camper. At that time, was living in a camper. We were broke. You know, I've been broke a lot of times. I've been blessed, but God always blesses us. And I was broke. And got a check in the mail for $1,500. Now, I knew the check wasn't mine, but I was broke. And I needed the money. So I said, well, Lord, I said, maybe I can cash it and use the money. And I said, I'll get ahead this summer and I'll send it back. But right now I need it. It's Christmas time. So the year went by and I never did get the money to send it back. So Christmas comes again, December. Here comes another $1,500 check in the mail. I said, Lord, I can't keep this one. That's for sure. I'm calling and telling them, you know, you've made a mistake. You're writing me these checks. You're writing me these checks, and I really, it ain't mine. And I took the last one. I spent it, and I'm sorry, but I'll make it up. I'll pay back a little bit at a time. So I got brave enough to call them. And guess what? They said, when you was in business in Ohio, said you done business with us, and said we wrote you a letter, and saying that you had like in your points and that you accumulate when you deal with a credit card company. They said we wrote you a letter and told you that you could get your money out, but if you didn't, we was converting it into stock, and you would have that much stock, and we would send you a dividend check every year. Can you believe that? That was mine. It was mine all the time. That's how good God is. That's how good God is. So God can mail you a check. God can send you a check in the mail. God can bless you when you're going out. God can bless you when you're coming in. God can bless you when you're getting up. God can bless you when you're lying down. And so that's a part of it. That's a part of it. We're blessed. We're blessed. On my trailer out here, when this church is over, I got a trailer out here with a little John Deere tractor on it. And on that trailer is two rocks. Two rocks. I used to work for a construction company in Ohio. And the glacier rocks from Wisconsin and way up north, they had a glacier. Anyhow, it sweeps these rocks down to Ohio, Kentucky, and West Virginia, buries them underground. Usually they're about 5-6 feet underground. They're beautiful rocks. They're beautiful rocks. And I thought they were pretty. And so I would pick them up. I had a tractor I'd done excavating, and I'd pick them up and I'd go hide them. I'd take them way out in an open field and I'd pile them up. I'd just pile them up, pile of rocks. And because I thought they were pretty, and I took a lot of them home. So I'm driving my tractor in this subdivision. Man standing out by his house. He just bought a brand new home. He's standing out there in the yard. I stopped. I said hi to him. I said, you know, I got something you might want. I said, and I'll show you how giving, just giving a little bit, giving a rock. You know, people ain't going to believe the rock story. So, you know, my son can verify it. We got proof. But so I said, I'll give you some rocks for your yard. I got the most beautiful rock you ever seen hit out here. I won't charge you nothing. I'll go get it with my tractor. I'll lay it down right in your yard, and it'll be beautiful decoration. A glacier rock. A glacier rock's expensive. There's no two rocks alike in the world. And so what I call it is $1 million rock. Have you ever heard of such a thing? $1 million rock. A rock worth $1 million. Here's how I come up with that. And when I told him that, this is what he said. He said, you know, I've got something I'd like to give you. He said, we just built a factory here. We sell styrofoam. We have a lot that's culls. We haven't been able to perfect it. They would have to take it to the dump, and I'd like to give it to you if you want it. To make a long story short, the first load that I got, scrap, I sold for $1,700. Me and my wife sold it all over Ohio, everywhere. We even sent some to Iran. That's a fact. And today, we have one of the best, my son. We left Ohio, and we just practically gave the business to him. But we built it out of the dumpster. And my son has done over $1 million a year in business for the last 7 years. That's why I call it $1 million rock. So I brought one home with me. I'm taking it to Texas, and I'm putting them in my yard. And someone will say, what about that rock? I said, let me tell you the story about that rock. Let me tell you the story. And they ain't going to believe it, but they can get on record. You can check with the IRS. You know, he grosses that every year. and one of the best styrofoam businesses in the country. So we're blessed. So sometimes you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. You give to God. And here's where the religious world has got it wrong. They say, this is what they say, you give to get. Now we reverse that. See, they say if you give, you get. And you can't beat that. If I send them five, they're going to send me back 10. I'm a businessman. I wouldn't have to work. All I got to do is give and get, give and get, give and get. Pretty soon I got more money than I know what to do with. Just keep giving and keep getting. That's wrong. But the way the people of God is, I get so I can give. I get so I can give. And we're going to take up a missionary offering. And I want to get in on it. I want to get in on it. I want to get in on it. And then I'll just show you what I do back in Texas. I do this every day. I promised the Lord about 7-8 years ago that I would give an offering. Brother Bud, we have hundreds of people in Mexico, thousands of people. They don't have any money. They don't have no jobs. It's Mexico's about to collapse. It's full of drug people. And so I said, from now on, it's about 8 years ago, I'm going to give $1 a day to Mexico. And my wife's going to give $1 a day. Don't sound like much, does it? Don't sound, what's $1 a day? I'm going to tell you what $1 a day is. In 10 years, just one family, one man, one woman. That's $7,000. That's how much it comes to. And so I told him in Tyler, I said, that's just about a half a cup of Starbucks coffee. Or a fourth of a cup. Starbucks coffee is about $3. So if you skip the Starbucks coffee, you know, then you can. It's free. It's free. And then I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you how I come up with the ideal of how that I didn't have to give anything. It didn't cost me nothing. I worked for Brookshire's grocery store about 5-6 years ago. I worked there over 4 years. So when I first walked in, they had a nice meal, $4.99, $5 a day. I loved their chicken. I loved their mashed potatoes. I'd go and buy me a meal every day. And then I got to thinking, I know what I'll do. I'll skip it. I'll skip it. And I'll make money. I'll give my dollar to Mexico every day. I'll put the other four in my pocket. And I did. And I never bought a meal. I think I bought one. So I'm showing you that I made money on it. And then I want to tell you this story. This story. So a little woman come by. I sack groceries. I'll show you how God can bless you. So if you're broke, don't worry about it. Check's in the mail. God will bless you. God don't, you don't get to give. You get. You don't give to get. Remember that. Don't give to get. But you get so you can give. So a woman come in. She's dirty. I felt sorry for her. She had a baby in her cart. You had to feel sorry. I pushed groceries out. She had a buggy full of groceries. She's got a baby in another buggy. And I said, well, let me take one of them out. She said, no, 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 don't. I said, I don't want you to. I said, no, ma'am. I said, I want to. You got two buggies. So I pushed her buggy out to the car. And her car was junk. And I felt sorry for her. I gave everybody a prayer cloth. If you come into Brookshire's, I had a little white cloth. I got some in my suitcase upstairs. I had a little white cloth about that big. And I said, it said Jesus heals on her. I said, here. I knew she needed it. I could look at her and tell she needed it. I said, here, this is for you. This is for you. I want to give you this, a gift. Jesus heals. Praise God. So I gave away hundreds of them. I sent them to Iraq. I gave a healing pair of cloths away. And so she reached in her purse and gave me an offering. 99% of the time it was a dollar. Some people would give you a quarter. I'd thank them just as much. And I never looked at it, okay? I never just looked at it in front of them because that's embarrassing. You know, when you get a tip. I waited. I got back in the store. And as soon as I get in the store, I'd see what it was. It was a $50 bill. This poor woman, junk car, a baby. Gave me $50. That paid my missionary offering for almost 2 months. Didn't cost me a dime. My tips always paid my missionary offering. Never cost me a penny, you know. And I just got a letter the other day from Social Security. They're going to give me a raise. Can you believe that? Yeah. Yeah, and it'll pay half of my missionary offering. So I ain't worried. So I've learned to trust Him. I've learned to trust Him because God will take care of you. Yeah. So let the wind blow, the dark clouds rise. They don't worry me. Oh, I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and no one on earth can harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Now, in order to get in the shelter of the arms of God, you got to have the password. The password is Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And so God will bless us. God will bless us. And so I want to take up an offering. Brother Smith is in Dominican Republic. Me and Brother Smith have been friends for years. Brother Smith is a very generous man. God's blessed him. I mean, if he sells a dog, I remember Sister Smith telling a story about giving. We've had a lot, but she was going to tile the house, I believe, a room, if I'm right, and she's saving her money, dollar at a time, to go and get some tile, going to fix it up pretty. And they needed some money for the missionaries. And I believe you gave your tile money. Yeah, she gave her tile money. So I told my wife, today, Uncle Sam going to mail us a little extra money next month because he gave us a raise and we get the back pay. So we want to give $100 on the missionary. Hey, we're going to have money left over. We're not giving it all. No, just give a little bit of it. But God will bless us. God will bless us. And we're living in the end time. We all know that. But I'd like to say this to the visitors. If you're looking for a place, what I was looking for when I left Ohio was a place where I could walk down and they'd pray for me in Jesus' name. And if I got in trouble and run out of groceries, they'd get a box together and put food in it and bring it over to my house and say, here, Brother Rourke, this is for you. And that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. And I'm looking for somebody that preaches Jesus, 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 Jesus. I used to have a sign on my truck and said, His name is Jesus, and my name doesn't matter. His name is Jesus, and Jesus, Jesus is the one. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So what do you say? What do you say? Let's do a little extra. And I told my wife this morning, I said, yeah, let's give a little bit of that Social Security check. You know, they eventually say they're going around on money. But until then, I'll live on it. And when I do, God will give me something better. God will give me something. So I'm not worried about it. I want you to know that. I'm not depressed. I don't take any of those, antidepressants. You know, the side effects of them are, by the way, suicide. You know, reads right on the bottle. Can you imagine anybody taking something for depression and the side effects of suicide? But number one seller in the world. But I don't want to mention that. What do you say? What do you say today? Let's think about the Dominican Republic. Let's think about it. And we just had a beautiful offering down in Tyler. Brother Wright down in Houston. It was from people from Haiti. Let me tell you about not Haiti, but Cuba. Cuba, when they go to church in Cuba this morning, they don't have windows. They don't have air conditioning. It's just an opening. But the church is going to be packed, packed, packed. And people are going to be looking in the windows, looking in the windows. Praise God. And you know what their theme song is? Since I found the body of Christ, life's worth living. That's their theme song in Cuba today. Since I found the body, I'm grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We don't worry. We don't worry. They don't worry me, for I'm safe. I'm safe. Hey. The name of Jesus is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe, 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 safe. Praise God. So we want to be a part of it. We want to be a part of it. So what do you say? What do you say? Let's give. Give. God will bless us. Let's pray for all those people. So I'm glad to be here. The meal was good. My room was good. I enjoy it. And I did say this. I'll say this. I did tell my wife this morning. So you know how much I like it here. I said, if we ever had to move, you know, something come up. I said, you know, I wouldn't mind moving here. Got a nice little room up there. Oh, yeah. Refrigerator. temperature control air conditioner. Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind because you know what? And then, like I say, when it breaks out in Little Rock, and it's going to soon, people's going to be walking in the door. Have people, they can't look through our windows, but they're going to be outside. We'll have speakers out there. And I'd like to come and sing. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Yeah. Yeah, why not tonight? Yeah, wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Why not today? So if you have a need today, while we're taking up the offering, we don't mind. We'll stay here and pray if you need the Holy Ghost. But if you're looking for a church, this is the place. This is the place. I live clear down in Texas, and I like it so well that if they ever turn me loose and let me go, I'd be here, Brother Michael. I would. I love Brother Michael. He's a friend of my boys. We've known him for years, and his wife, Cindy. Yeah. Yeah, they're our friends. And we love them. We miss them. They miss us. So I want you to know that. Is that okay? That I did say that. So I'd say let's take up an offering for the people in Dominican and pray for Brother Smith. Thank God you let me come. Praise God. Oh.
Every day. Appreciate Brother Roar being here with us and good words. A man of faith that we to believe God and trust Him. We did have some visitors that came in while Brother Payne was talking after he sat down. I think Sister Abraham's daughter, Michelle, I believe, and her and Sister Abraham's grandchildren. I don't know. I recognize Nicholas and Jonathan, and maybe that right? Is that Zachary too? Zachary, okay. And then good to have them here today. And I see Demetria and a friend with her, all right? And his name is Taylor Harris. Good to have him here today. All right. Had a good day for visitors, and hope you come back to see us. Our doors are open. So anyway, it's good that Sister Ann said that, where is she? Ann Thompson. It's about bacon. She's downstairs, and what's the store in the bacon?
If you pay for it, it's ready to pick up, but there's more that you can buy.
Okay. The ones that paid for bacon that's left over from the meeting, they're ready to be picked up downstairs, and there are some more available for the ones that haven't paid for it. There's bacon if you want bacon downstairs. And everybody here understand that?
That's right.
Is that correct?
That's right.
All right. All right, so let's thank the Lord for this day and service at 5. What about band practice, brother? 4 o'clock band practice. So let's thank God for this day and thank God for all our visitors and asking that He be with everyone. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate you. Thank you for your goodness, O Lord. Lord, keep your hand upon each one today. Oh, God, we appreciate you. Touch your people, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Merciful Savior. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory. Appreciate it.